Welcome to this episode of Sometimes I Talk to Myself. Good morning to you. Oh my gosh, I had to sing a lot yesterday, so my voice is recovering. So if I sound a little bit more gravelly and husky, that's probably why. But bear with me because I have a word for you guys, and I'm excited about it, and I'm going to get right into it because I want to get this out. Also, there is a feature on your podcast where you can listen to things sped up. And it's so funny because that blesses my whole life. I listen to like 10 or 12 audiobooks a month. And I listen to them sped up. Even when I watch YouTube videos, I go in the settings and I put it up to like 1.75 or 2 even, just to get the information. So feel free to speed me up if you like. It works. So yeah, anyway, here we go. So I want to read. Before I read, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for, I thank you for coming, for dying, God, and for defeating death, hell, and the grave. And then you rose again. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you are my God. Lord, we love you. We adore you. We thank you, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just fill in. Lord, just come. Just come, Holy Spirit. Speak through me. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to read the scripture. I'm like super hype about it because I was reading it the other day and I actually started at one place and I just about shouted, and then I had to go back and read the whole thing. So I want to read this to you, and then we'll kind of unpack it and break it down. Okay, so it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at verse 1. It says, "After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, together with some of the Midianites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. People came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast number from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom has come to fight against you.' They were already in Hazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for all Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him." Let me stop there. So you have three companies of people coming against one nation. You have the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites all coming against this one nation, right? And then you have people coming to tell you a vast number is coming. Don't y'all trip, like, don't y'all hate when people, like, it's like a tale bearer almost, or a bearer of bad news. Somebody comes and they tell you something is about to happen, or, girl, did you hear? And it's like, well, I would have known whether, you know, but when they come with that news, it said Jehoshaphat was afraid. Sometimes when people bring news from a place, it's like, it makes you fearful. But one thing I love that it says that he did, it says he resolved to seek the Lord. How many times do we hear bad news or people come and bring us something and our first instinct is to, you know, post about it online or to call somebody and say, okay, excuse me, what did you say? I heard that, you know. How many times do we stop and say, Lord, I'm purposing to seek you in this because this has devastated me? You know, we get this devastating news, and oftentimes it's the enemy's job, even like the fact that they say a vast number, because vast means what? Vast means like far as the eye can see, right? It's massive. So that's to instill fear. It's to, you know, who are these people that brought him this news? Are they, were they a part of his people, or they, did they come from another city to tell him this? You see what I'm saying? You have to watch what news comes. And yes, sometimes it will affect us because it made him afraid. But I love that he said he resolved to seek the Lord. And not only that, he proclaimed the fast for those under him to come in and seek the Lord as well. So that was just a little nugget there I thought was really cool, to be in the presence of mind to say that even though this news that I've gotten, this doctor's report, or this, okay, somebody said they saw my aunt and she didn't look good or whatever, I'm not going to let that affect me to the point where I make emotional decisions based on the news from someone else. I'm going to go in and seek the Lord. Because once you tell, like, what's that scripture? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. No, it's another one. It's about the peace of God. Like when you you cast your burdens on the Lord. Like he'll give you his peace in exchange. I've had that so many times happen to me. So let's keep going because I don't want to get caught up there. But yes, okay, so then we're going to verse 5. It says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the Lord's temple before the new courtyard. He said, Lord, God of our ancestors. So this is his prayer. He said, Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and who gave it forever to the descendants of Abram, your friend? They have lived in the land and have built you a sanctuary in it, for your name, and have said, if disaster comes on us, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and before you. For your name is in this temple. We will cry out to you because of our distress, and you will hear and deliver. So they're saying, God, are you not? You gave us. This is our inheritance. You gave this to us. And we said, if anything should come, that we would come and cry out to you because you will hear and deliver us. So this is the prayer. So they're presenting to God, basically back to him, his promise to them as this vast army approaches, right? So verse 10, it says, now here are the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. You did not let Israel invade them when Israel came out of the land of Egypt, but all Israel turned away from them and did not destroy them. Look how they repay us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this vast number that comes to fight against us. We do not know what to do, but we look to you. Wow. So this is the prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord. And what I found so interesting is, it says, look how they repay us by coming to drive us out. Bro, from what I hear, the Israelites numbered in the millions. And when they came out of Egypt, that's what I hear. It wasn't my own personal study, but I heard that they were pretty vast themselves. And it said that they did not invade those places when they came out of Egypt. So how come now these people who were spared, because Israel, they were looking for a place to land, basically, and they could have invaded those places and took their land, but they didn't. So how now we spared you guys and you guys are coming from afar to basically plunder us? What kind of sense is, you see what I'm saying? It just doesn't make any sense. And so now, I mean, how many times have we, like, in our lives been kind to someone and then turn around and find out they're gossiping about us, or that same kindness was not repaid? You know, it's like, it's not fair, you know, and it's oftentimes we can go back and, okay, we can retaliate. But here again, we put ourselves before our Father and we let him fight for us. So let's continue reading. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their dependents, their wives, and their children. In the middle of the congregation, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, and Mattaniah, a Levite from Asaph's descendants. And he said, listen carefully, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will see them coming from up the ascent. Let me stop for a second. Wait. Here's something that just hit me. So first you have this man, he's bringing a prophetic word, right? If we are in a trial and we do not resolve to seek the Lord concerning the trial, how will you hear vital information? How will you get? Sometimes we hear information and we make a mess of things. When certain news is brought to us, we go and we start moving and doing stuff and we make a mess instead of seeking the Lord. And in the seeking, this very, very, very vital word was brought forth, right? So let me continue and then we'll go into the next part. It says, tomorrow, the battle's not yours, it's God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, facing the wilderness of Jeruel. You do not have to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Okay. Wow, it's so much, man. I'm like, it's just, wow. So then, verse 18 says, then Jehoshaphat knelt low with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord to worship him. Then the Levites and the sons of the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, shouting loudly. Ooh, okay, wait. So two things here. First of all, don't despise a word from God. They could have said, okay, here's this person. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. And he, you know, he's in the congregation. He's in the midst. He's just a person, right? The word of the Lord came to him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the people believed. The people believed. I want to encourage you, don't despise a word from God. Don't despise how small it might come to you. Or from how small the person might be that brings it to you. It could be from the mouth of a child. It could be from the mouth of that homeless guy that you give a dollar to on the corner. It could come from anywhere. Let your heart be sensitive to receive it. We don't know this guy. This guy has grown up around these people. You know, he could have been the jokester and the trickster in the midst, you know, and all of a sudden God, because he always picks the most unlikely. So I'm giving him this description for a reason, because maybe he wasn't some regal prophet in a white robe walking around the camp. Maybe he was whoever he was. They talk about his lineage, but we don't know his character. So he's speaking a word, and I stop there because I want to encourage you that as you seek God, don't ignore the small word, the small promptings, the small nudgings that God may bring from an unlikely source or an unlikely candidate. Keep your ears open, your heart open to receive, and he will speak to you. Okay, so let us continue. So it says that all Judea, my God, I just want to cry. All of the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down to worship the Lord. And the Levites, the sons of the Kohathites and the Korathites, stood to praise God. And I found that interesting how they separated the fact that they bowed down to worship, but they stood up to praise. I found that very interesting. And it said they shouted loudly. My God. Okay. So that means don't be afraid to, like David danced out of his clothes. Like, don't be afraid to praise God with everything that you have. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. So here we go. Next verse. In the morning, this is verse 20. They got up early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were about to go out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. Then he consulted with the people. Okay, wait, before I continue. It's interesting. He said the next morning they got up early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. Okay, listen. This is so funny because at night, when you go through the night, so they sought the Lord, right, that day. And I'm sure everybody went back home or to their respective houses or whatever, or tents or whatever, and prepare for the evening. How many of you guys, when you feel you find yourself encouraged by the Lord, and then you go, you get ready to go to bed, and you go to sleep, and you wake up and you're like, oh my God. What did I sign up for? Oh my God, we're about to die. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced that, where I've had to face a mountain in front of me and I feel the courage of the Lord, and I'm excited. And I'm like, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I go to sleep. And I wake up with the sun the next morning, and I'm like, what was I thinking? I know I'm not the only person that has happened to. Oh my gosh. I find it interesting that Jehoshaphat the next morning said, he had to encourage them again. He said, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in his prophets and you will prosper and you will succeed. So, okay, let's continue. I just thought that was funny. Like, let's get it back together. Let's go. Okay, so he consulted with the people and appointed some to sing for the Lord, some to praise the splendor of his holiness. And when, wow, oh my gosh. Okay, wait. When they went out in front of the armed forces, they kept singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithfulness endures forever. Ooh. Y'all, everything is about to change. If you are listening to this podcast right now, I'm prophesying to you. Everything is about to change in your life. My God, it just seems like every time you try to get up and it's like you've been knocked back down. And the Lord says everything is about to change. Just praise. Just worship. Just get in position and stand and see. My God. Okay, here's where I started. So I woke up the other morning. Excuse me. I woke up the other morning and I was just opening my Bible, just reading. And I opened it up to this. Here's where, okay, so I had like my little marker was in my Bible. And I actually felt like the Lord said, it's something that you need to see there. And this marker, the little, you know, the little ribbon that they have attached to the Bible. It was, I had just stuffed it in. I mean, you know, I just slid it somewhere random. And so I said, oh, something I need to see there. So I opened it up to the marker. And that's when I read this very passage. And then I had to go back and read everything because I was about to shout. But it says, verse 22, this is what I read and it blew me. The moment they began their shouts and praises to the Lord. Wait a minute. The moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, who came to fight against Judah, and they were defeated. Bro, the moment, I wish y'all could see me. I'm doing the grab my head shake, my hair flying. The moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush. You guys, the moment, the moment you begin to shout and praise, the Lord will set an ambush against your enemies. Ooh, and I'm not talking about people. You have an enemy of your soul. Satan is your enemy. These folks, they're not your enemies, man. Forget these folks. It's Satan himself that is conspiring for you to fail. He wants to end you. He has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that is his main objective in your life. But my God, change. What's that song that says, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Wow. How many times on my podcast over these 3 years have I said that even if you don't feel like what you say, it so matters. What you declare so matters. Even like I've said before, it's times where my mind would be up under such an assault that I would have to verbally and out loud say no and shout no in order to get it off of me. Man, it's so much power in what we say. But imagine that much more power when we are declaring praises to our God. Listen, it says, verse 23, the Ammonites and the Moabites turned against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and completely annihilated them. When they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy each other. Jesus. Wow. When Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked for the large army, but there was only corpses lying on the ground. Nobody had escaped. Can you imagine that? So you have three companies, right? You have three. And I want to say something was even brewing that day before when they were on their way. I even have this like this thought that with the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites, I have this feeling like, okay, yeah, they came together as an army. But I have a feeling that there was a little tension that God had started already. Like there was some, and that thing just erupted on the day. You know what I'm saying? Like then the two came against the one, and then the two came against each other until the last man fell. Wow. Can y'all see it? Wow. 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 By the time you get to where you're supposed to be, to where God told you to go, your enemies will all be corpses lying on the ground. I kid you not. And here's the fun part. Here's the fun part. Let's go. So it says, then Jehoshaphat and his people went to gather the plunder they found among them, an abundance of goods on the bodies and valuable items. So they stripped them until nobody could carry anymore. They were gathering the plunder for 3 days because there was so much. Holy cow. You guys, not only will your enemies be defeated, but you will gather plunder in Jesus' name. You will have so much. What's the scripture that says that, you know, it's Malachi 3:10, it says, you know, bring your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. It's improve me now in this. See that when he woke, what he said, open up a window of heaven that, and pour you out such a blessing there won't be room enough to receive. You know, I've been waiting on that. I said, God, hey, I still have room. I still have room. But what I want us to get out of the mindset of is just this sitting back and thinking that God is about to come to us with all of this. No, they had to go. They had to get up. They had to prepare for battle. They had to go to the meeting place for battle. And then they could see their enemies destroyed. Then they could plunder. Y'all feel me? You have to do something. You have to do something. You have to get up. There is situations in my life that I could liken unto the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites coming against me. And they are pretty major things. And I miss when God would just, honestly, he would just rescue me. He would just do it for me. And there was a time that he would do that. But now, if I want to grow and if I want to move forward, now he's requiring things from me. He has always required me to do things, but it never felt like this much work. I never had to be as involved. I definitely felt like a princess. I felt like Daddy, and he would come. Daddy, I tried to open the door. It won't open for me. And he would come. But let me tell you something. I was coming into my building the other day, and there is two ways that you can come in. There's one way to enter, but as far as when you come into the parking garage, there's one entrance, one exit. But what I mean is, if you live in the building and you pay for parking monthly, they give you a sticker you put in your window. And when you get to the little arm, it goes up once it senses your sticker. And so, but other people who are visiting, they have to pay, you know, however much for like $18 or whatever for the day or however much per hour. And so they would push the button and pull a ticket. So I pulled in one night to come home, and as soon as I approach the gate, the arm comes up and it says, "Welcome, Cecily," on the little screen, or "Welcome back, Cecily," or "Welcome home, Cecily." It says something like that, but my name is in there. It's really cool. And so the arm goes up and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I said, "Whoa, shut up about shit." The little arm goes up and the Lord says, if you approach the door, it will open for you. My God, y'all hear me today. He said, when you approach, he said, I put the sensor in you. The door knows, it'll know you when you get there, but you have to get to the door. Come on, somebody. You have to get to the door. So as I'm rolling up, because my parking space is on the sixth floor. So as I'm rolling up this garage, he's talking to me. He said, I can't just leave doors wide. Certain doors are left open. But he said, certain doors I can't just leave wide open, because then undesirables will go in. The wrong people will be in those positions. He said, I have to close them. He said, I have to keep them closed. I can't just, you know, leave them wide open. He said, but what I've placed in you, it's the favor that I placed on you, and my seal is in you, so that when you get to the door, it will open for you. My God, that's a word for you. That's a word for somebody that's listening. All you have to do is get to the door. He's saying, you have to do something, sis. You have to do something, daughter, son. You do have to do something. But once you get there, what I placed in you, the favor, that door will open. Don't worry about your lack of qualification or your lack of finances or whatever you feel like you lack. Just get to the door and it will open for you. And it's going to say, welcome, welcome. I've been waiting on you to get here. And then guess what? As soon as when I get through that door, like when I get through my parking garage, when the arm goes up, it goes right back down. It closes immediately. Why? Because it doesn't want undesirables to come into our parking garage. It's so bougie, y'all. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this last thing. I used to, because I live on my, I was a single mom. My daughter, she doesn't live with me anymore. I had a situation back when I was living in Texas where someone was following me. And I knew it because I made this sharp turn to evade them, and they tried to turn with me and they couldn't. And I lost them. And I was like, thank God, because this person was like all up on my tail. And so since then, I found myself, whenever I'm driving, if a person is making too many turns with me, I don't go home, because I was, you know, I want to protect my daughter and I don't want anybody knowing where I live. And so if they follow me too much, I put in, you know, I would Google the nearest police station and I just drive there and pull up, you know. Like, okay, you want to meet me? You meet me right here in front of here. I'm not stopping until I get here. So, but it hasn't never got that far. But I always had a plan in place because of, like I said, that the situation that happened. And so, and also just feeling like everywhere that I've lived, you know, has been feeling like that feeling of, you know, just kind of unguarded. It's not been gated or anything. But God has put me in a place where now, I say, well, follow me if you want to. I mean, even if you get in the parking garage, you will not be able to find out where I live in this building. I guarantee you that. It's the security is so tight here. You have to, first of all, you have to get on the elevator from the parking garage to get to the main building. Then once you get to the main building, you have to pass the first security desk, you know, wave to them. And you go through to a second security desk, and you have to have a card to get past security. So if you put your card in, put your number in, then the little arm will let you through. Otherwise, the security guard, he's watching you. If you can't get past there without a card and get to the elevators to get to the main floor, the main rooms, right? Then once you get on the elevator, if you happen to make it through security, if you don't have that card, the elevator won't let you up. So you had to swipe another card to get up the elevator. Then once you up to you get to your floor, then you get to your room, then you got to use your card to get in your room. So let me tell you something. I haven't felt so safe. I said, oh, you following me? Okay, follow me. First of all, you're going to pay for parking if you're trying to do some harm, because you can't get in here and you can't get out unless you pay. Listen, let me stop tripping, but I just totally, digressed. Yeah. But all I wanted to just tell you guys is, like, I just feel like the Lord is on it so strong that just that you will position yourself. He said, position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Get in position, guys. This is it. get in position. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I heard this prophet say something the other day. He said, some of you guys, the Holy Spirit, it feels like he hasn't said anything new because he realizes you're not obeying him in the little stuff. He's not going to say once he realizes that you will take his word and run, then he'll continue to say more. And I was like, you know, that really makes sense. God, he'll say little stuff, do it. And because of our unbelief or our fear, we don't move in it, or we feel like, oh, we're waiting on something bigger. No, God said, go open up the bank account in your business name. Just go do it. Just do it. And you're like, well, I'm going to wait until I get this grant or I get this. No, go open the account. And then he'll tell you the next thing. And then he'll tell you the next thing. Do the little things and don't be afraid. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this podcast today. I thank you for, Lord, just thanks so much. Ooh, I feel your presence. I know you're here, and I know that you're rooting for us and that you love us. I pray that we can hear your voice clearly and that we won't miss timing. Lord, I pray this prayer. I'm going to share this prayer with anyone who's listening, that my prayer has been, and it's just a constant thing I say, Lord, let me be at the right place at the right time, doing and saying the right thing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that over the people that are listening, God, that we could be at the right place at the right time, doing and saying the right thing. In Jesus' name, Father, fill us with faith and boldness and courage. God, fill us with so much courage that we can look back and say, I don't even know how I did that. It must have been the Lord, because in my right mind, I would never have done it otherwise. God, thank you for giving us your mind, for giving us your strength, your power. My God, I thank you, Lord. Jehoshaphat and them, they could have stayed at home and waited for the army to come to them. But Lord, they moved out and they went to meet this vast army, even though they said, we're nobody, we have nothing. God, I don't even know if they had weapons or not, but I know, Lord, that of their own admission, they said that we're nothing. We don't have the power to fight this army, but you, God, you do. So God, thank you. Lord, I believe that you are the God of miracles. Lord, I believe that you are the God of Jehoshaphat in my life. I believe that you are the God of Jehoshaphat in the lives of the people that are listening. You are the same God. We just stopped believing you for the crazy miraculous. But God, today we renew our belief in you, that you can do exceedingly above and abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. My, and my imagination is crazy. So God, if you can do exceedingly and abundantly above that, wow, man, I just thank you, God. I just, Lord, I renew our childlike faith and trust in you in the name of Jesus. I was just thinking back to, this is the last thing I'm going to say and then I'm going to go. I was thinking back to a time when I was really, really young and single. I was like 20 years old and I was living in these apartments and my car was super dirty. And I just said, I'm just going to go out here and wash my car. I was living in Texas, super hot day. And I washed my car, gone up and down the stairs with buckets, soapy water, you know, trying to do my car or whatever. And I remember I was just tired of the stairs. And I said, man, Lord, it would be so nice, because my car had all these bubbles on it because I used like dish soap or something. So it was bubbly and soapy. And I said, man, God, it would be great if you could rinse my car for me. Y'all, I kid you not. This is Texas now. This is not Florida. So Florida, yeah, it rains in the summer. It rains every 30 minutes or something and do, you know, these little short showers and then it stops. But Texas, y'all, I kid you not. I went upstairs. I got the bucket of clear water. And when I came and I opened that door, it was raining. And I stood there, my mouth was wide open. And it rained probably while I stood there for another minute. And then it just stopped. And the sun came back out. You guys, this is the kind of God we serve, bro. Ask for the impossible. Ask for the crazy. I mean, I asked him to rent my car. How much more will he do for you that love him? And I feel like also there's something coming around again. God, he's coming around again. Man, he's coming around. Man, some of us have been in a low place for too long. God says, I'm coming around again. Let's go, y'all. Let's get up. So I bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And I will talk to y'all next week with another episode. I have so much to say. Love you already. Talk to you soon. Bye.